following program is rated BBMALSA. It contains strong language, sexual situations, awesomeness, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Listener indiscretions are advised.
Welcome to our Bliss Bringers podcast. The materials we cover encourage adults of all ages, nationalities, and sexualities to open up and embrace their wildest desires and blissful pleasures. You won't find medical advice here, just our personal experiences following the journey of sexual evolution and education in sizzling fun topics that were definitely not taught to us in school, but have wickedly blossomed into reality. We discuss adventures in ethical non-monogamy, kinks and fetishes, exotic places to visit, sexy events, workshops, and tips. Allow us to seduce you into embarking on new adventures where each day you ask yourself, what's your pleasure?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bliss Bringers. It's April 28th, and today we're bringing you episode 5, and we're going to go over some basic vocabulary that people need to know to find their way around the swinger lifestyle and around our podcast. I'm Professor T, and I have with me my delicious team.
I'm Mistress Cindy.
Captain.
John.
Before we get to our main event, does anyone want to tell us about some personal updates?
John, do you want to talk about the Florida couple that came in?
Well, we had a couple from out of state come in, and we took them to the meet and greet, to the winery. We couldn't stay too long because the wife of the couple wasn't feeling well, so it was a very quick meet and greet. However, we did meet the team from Lifestyle Out Loud and chatted with them a little bit. More on that will be forthcoming.
Yeah, and guess what I did? I registered for DomCon LA. It's their 10th anniversary. Cool. So I'm going, it should be. I'm really excited. It's May 8th through the 12th. Fetish focus. It's focused on female domes. They have a lot of presentations, and there's one that I really want to go to called Sexual Negotiations. It's just basically dealing with sexual negotiations with submissions, subs, and then, you know, various types of folks, not just being with someone else that is of the same gender, but of various types of sexualities. What'd you guys do?
We went to a munch, which is a meet and greet of kinky and fetish people. And it's one of the most successful groups in Canada. We met some very interesting people. One couple in particular that we talked quite a bit with, she is his sub. So everything has to be passed by him. And she, in turn, had two subs with her, and one of them was in training. And we found that one particularly interesting because his whole life was being managed by her.
He was cute.
And he was young.
I enjoyed talking to him. He was so sweet.
Yeah, he was. And what was very interesting is that he was so grateful for this. Like, the gratitude was, he just glowed with it because he said, my whole life has changed. Where I used to sleep in all the time, my house was a mess. And he just said his whole life was being transformed for the better. And he was really enjoying this. And he really meant it.
So she was managing his life, basically.
Yeah,
supplying him with the schedule that he had to stick to and all of that. And then she was there with her dom. They were all there together.
Right.
And they were interesting. So she was the sub to this other guy who was her dom, and then she had these other subs, but relationship with the sub in training was not sexual. It was just a power exchange relationship in life.
Right. Okay, that's really interesting.
You know, in this whole meet and greet, there were, I would say, 50 plus people. And
there were more than that. There were at least 80 people.
Wow. Yeah, it was a lot of people.
It was good.
On a weeknight. And there was every size, shape, and walk of life there.
We met another couple where she described herself as owned.
So she signed a contract.
Yes.
I didn't ask her whether she signed a contract.
And he just sat back in the corner and watched.
Yeah, he wasn't very...
That was his position.
Social, but eventually he came up and we started chatting.
We felt very relaxed. We will be attending the next one. We've already made that decision, I think.
Yeah,
that we're going to attend the next one.
With Munch, is this a local organization or do they have other chapters in other cities?
The name of the event is a Munch. It's like a meet and greet.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
A munch is what
it's like a
meet and greet is.
It's in the BDSM community.
Right.
That's what they call it.
That's what they call
so
it.
So no playing takes place. You're not supposed to even dress kinky.
So you just show up in regular clothes.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of, or those are the costumes, you should say. I'm dressed up as a ordinary person.
Yeah. It was interesting. We're definitely going to go to another one. We met some really nice people.
We met some very interesting people.
We also, last night we went to a dinner party. It was a Desire dinner party. So all the people who attended had been to Desire. So some friends of ours who we introduced to Desire. So they invited us, then another couple who they met at Desire, and another couple who are friends of theirs who they told about Desire and who have now started going to Desire. So they had a dinner party last night called the Desirable Dinner Party. So we dressed the way you would dress for dinner at Desire. And then after dinner, everybody changed. I put on my Dom outfit that I got the last time we were shopping together. The women had all these beautiful corsets and things. Oh, it was nice. So it wasn't really a play party, but it was fun. We had a lot of fun.
A dress-up party.
It was a dress-up party. I got out the floggers. They wanted to see what I learned from Midori.
Mm. What'd you show them?
I showed them flogging.
Yeah, they really enjoyed being flogged, and they tried a little flogging themselves.
Yeah. They were asking me for advice on technique.
Right.
Yay!
The conversion to the dark side is completed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Some people hadn't been flogged before, so I got to flog them for the first time.
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, it is. And when they like it, you know, when they respond well to it, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the couples, they had a flogger, but she wasn't really, she was working on her flogging technique.
Did Captain do some flogging also?
Yeah, I did a little bit of flogging. Not that much,
not
but
much.
I did do some.
You just kind of sat back.
I was.
He was being the voyeur.
Yeah, I was being the voyeur. I was watching. And the food was excellent. So really enjoyed the dinner. A lot of good conversation.
So it sounds like everyone had some fun since our last show. On to the main topic, the basics. Last episode, we had Mr. Bill tell us all about BDSM and domination, and he defined S&M for us, and he was excellent, I thought. But then when we played back some of our earlier episodes, we realized that we had made a lot of assumptions about what listeners might know, what their knowledge base was. So I know that I wish I had had someone to explain some of the basics to me when I first got to the lifestyle. So today we're going to go over some of the vocabulary that you'll hear a lot in the swinger lifestyle and a lot on this podcast. I just want to acknowledge up front that we owe a huge debt of gratitude to the Swinger Board and Julie of the Swinger Board, because we've shamelessly cribbed from the glossary of swinger terms found over on that board.
But we'll make it up to her soon.
We are going to make it up to her. She's going to come and visit us and be interviewed. Cindy, take it away.
We're going to start with the letter B. You know, when I first started, I was completely confused with the terms of bisexual, bicurious, bicomfortable, heteroflexible, and a new term, biselfish. So I wanted to just explain a little bit what I learned along the ways of bicurious. That's a man or a woman that is interested in exploring or trying same-sex activities. It doesn't necessarily mean penetration. It could be orally. Bicomfortable. It could be a man or a woman comfortable with playing or being touched by the same sex and gender, like a girl-girl, a man-man, but it doesn't mean that there has to be full penetration. It just means that you're comfortable being with the same sex next to them. Maybe there's a sensual touch, erotic touch. An example that was taught to me is a man receiving a hand job or a blow job from another man. It doesn't mean they're gay. It doesn't mean that they're bisexual. It means that they're bi-comfortable. It could go right along with the orgy scene. And the bi-selfish, well, there are a lot of ladies in the lifestyle that they're very comfortable with having another woman give oral sex to her or even penetrate her with a strap on, but they don't necessarily have that interest to reciprocate. So it's kind of a fun term, bi-selfish.
That's good. Thank you.
A couple terms under the letter C, cuckolding, and its related term, hutwifing. Hutwifing is when somebody a male, receives pleasure from seeing his wife sexually pleasured. So it's not like in a classical way of, oh, my wife is having sex, but I'm in the meantime, I'm enjoying having the sex myself. No, it's having the watching the wife and seeing that she's been pleasured and sort of showing her off that gives the satisfaction. The next step is cuckolding. It's comparable to hot wifing, but it involves humiliation of the male in this part. This can involve things, scenes where there is sort of pseudo cheating, where, for example, the wife says, oh, he is so much better than you. And in that way, humiliates the other partner who is forced to watch. Sometimes the other partner gets tied up or otherwise incapacitated or is forced to serve them or things like that.
Okay, so we're into the D's, DP and DVP, double penetration and double vaginal penetration. Being penetrated in two orifices at the same time. Wow, I like the sounds of that. Usually refers to anal and vaginal, may also include oral.
What's DVP?
That is double vaginal penetration, and that's where two cocks are in one pussy.
Fetish. If you have a fetish, then you experience sexual arousal or sexual pleasure through non-sexual objects or actions or any non-genital anatomy. So, for example, lots of people have heard of foot fetishes. The foot is not usually thought of as a sexual piece of anatomy, but some people get aroused by feet. Some people get aroused by leather. Some people get aroused by ponies. These are all types of fetishes.
How about shoe shopping?
Wow.
That could be a fetish.
Yeah, that could.
I think I have one.
Yeah, that arouses you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and next up are some of our threesome combinations. An all-time favorite is FFM or FMF. This involves a threesome with two women and one man. Usually FFM refers to a threesome where the women are bi, and because, well, the FF touches each other, so the women touch each other, whereas an FMF threesome usually involves women who are straight and only play with a man. On the other end of the spectrum, we have MFM and MMF. This is exactly the opposite, where we have two men and one woman involved in one threesome, and it relates to whether the males are bi or not.
And so the MFM is the two straight men playing, yes, with one woman, is that right?
Yeah, because the M's only touch the F's.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, so they're worshiping the woman.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't actually know that was different.
Why the letters were put differently.
Why the letters were in a different order.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either, but I sure like that MFM.
I'll take MFM or MMF.
You'll take it all.
I'll take MMFM. I'll take it.
MMFM.
Let's take it all. Just bring it on.
Bring it on.
Party at the SF Cuties. Oh, yeah.
Brother. Okay.
Professor T will take MMMMMF.
Would you like fries and a shake with that?
Yes. A protein shake.
Yeah, she'll take a protein shake.
Oh, man. Let's begin with friends first. Okay, so the next definition on the letter F is friends first. Okay, some people do want to start a little slow, and this is a couple interested in developing a level of a relationship beginning with friendship level and hopefully progressing into a sexual play.
This is something that you see sometimes on profiles on dating sites. Actually, the next term that we have is full swap and soft swap and any sort of other swapping that goes on. And here it's a little bit of a political discussion on what exactly is a soft swap. So let's start with a full swap. A full swap includes all sorts of sexual activity, including vaginal or possibly anal intercourse. Basically anything goes, whereas soft swap has some rules to that on things that are not allowed, and that usually means no intercourse vaginally, nothing in the pussy, nothing in the ass.
So here's a question. two girls are doing each other with double-headed dildo. Is that full swap?
Yeah, we talked about that last night, and they felt it was full swap.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that definition is the officially,
right.
If there's anything.
Well, hold on.
Because otherwise, what do you do about fingers? What do you do about
right.
We talked. We mentioned that last night, actually. You're right.
But as I said, this can turn into a political discussion really quickly.
Okay. It was pretty, for us as new people, I think it felt very intimidating considering soft swap, full swap. When we started going to the clubs, I was nervous about the whole soft swap, full swap. And we originally went into, let's just do soft swap. Well, John.
We were soft swap for about 15 minutes.
I was just very intimidated with defining these rules. Soft swap has a lot of rules.
But I think the thing is, not to get too hung up on the terms, people can see that they're sort of open to debate. So just ask people whether they have some limits.
If somebody says we're soft swap, a good thing to do is ask them, what does that mean for you?
Let's move on. The next one's mine, and it's the group room. I've never actually heard it called the group room. I usually call it a playroom. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they call it a mat room or a mattress room. But what it is it's a room that's set aside for group sex, and it's furnished with wall-to-wall mattresses or pads so that every part of it you can just
I would like that room.
Lie down and have sex.
I call that the cuddle puddle room.
Yes, the cuddle puddle room. So in a group room, you can have group sex, which is also known as orgies or moresomes, cuddle puddles, as Cindy likes to call them. Orgies, according to the definition here, is sexual interaction among several men and women in the same room, complete absence of inhibition in everyone taking part, group sex, four or more people.
Does four really
But that's
turn
interesting
it
how they add complete absence of inhibition in everyone taking part of the definition of an orgy. Like if you're just swapping with another couple, that's not an orgy.
An orgy. That wouldn't be an orgy for me.
What,
an
you orgy, need six or more?
I would say six or
what
more.
What if you have five?
Doesn't mean you have to have sex with all
really
sex.
Wild. I think historically an orgy is a wild sexual encounter among several people.
A group of
So there is it has to be sort of wild.
Yeah.
To be an orgy.
So that one definition that says complete absence of inhibitions, I don't necessarily agree with that because I don't let 100% of my inhibitions go. There's still rules going on in there.
Yeah, so I agree with you that you still need to, you can still say no to something.
Yes.
And you still need to be respectful of people's boundaries.
Yep. The definition just needs to be updated.
Yeah, complete absence of inhibition, that doesn't work.
No.
Okay.
Okay. We agree.
Okay, we have hall pass. A hall pass is when you give your partner permission to go off, and have sex if it's available. If she finds the opportunity to have sex and
or
I'm
he.
Not there, or he, of course. And if the one of the partners isn't there, they give permission to their partner to have sex if the opportunity arises.
I've had hall passes. I've never used them. No.
But you flirted.
Oh, absolutely. But I've been doing that since I was 16. I am trying to get to that point of giving John a hall pass. I'm trying to build my courage up.
So I guess some people are a little nervous about giving hall passes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Captain, a term that we see on some profiles is HWP. What does that mean?
Height, weight, proportionate. Someone who is at their ideal body weight. And we don't quite agree with that.
It's one of those terms which I'm not 100% sure is appropriate, but it just means no overweight people. That's what in reality they're wanting to say with that.
Yeah.
I sort of frown upon when I see it, but we're giving it out there so our listeners knows what the heck it is when they see it.
Exactly.
HWP.
So another term that we will use frequently when we're talking about upcoming events, especially with John and I living here in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, is LGBTQ. And what that stands for is the lesbian, gay, transgender, bi, queer. So be proud with the LGBTQs.
So next up is the meet and greet. So a meet and greet is a swinger event. It's usually held in a public place, and the purpose is for meeting other swingers. It's not the same thing as a play party. It usually doesn't involve sex, although you might meet someone there and go off and do whatever. It's sometimes called a social, and in BDSM communities, it's called a munch, which is what the captain and I went to last week. So it's just a place where you go to basically meet other people who are interested in the lifestyle.
One term that you hear a lot is ménage à trois. Usually in the US, it means threesome. It's just another word for threesome. The interesting point that I found there is that this is a French term. It actually means household with three. In Europe, and especially in France, this term means something different. It means more of a poly setup where you have multiple people living in the same house together, not just a one-night stand, a romp in the hay, but a long-term relationship. That's what ménage à trois means.
Cool.
There you go.
Okay, off-premise and on-premise. These are types of clubs. And on an off-premise club, there's no swinging that takes place at the club or the party. You might meet people there. You can't take it to a bed, because there are no beds. It's a good way for newcomers to start. An on-premise club is a club where they have social areas and they also have play areas, and sexual play is permitted in an on-premise club. And you have private rooms and public rooms that are provided for sexual play. So that's the difference between an on-premise and an off-premise club or party.
Okay, next we have open relationship. And so this is a couple that may want to have other relationships, other partners, and yet the couple doesn't necessarily have to be polyamorous or swingers. If you're a married couple, you would describe this as having an open marriage. They may want to have other relationships.
Is what we have an open relationship?
I don't think so.
No.
Because to me, an open relationship is where you actually go out on dates with other people.
Oh.
And you have an actual relationship with other people. Professor T and I, we don't have relationships with other people. We're swingers. However, we don't carry on a full relationship with another person.
So there's not a defined relationship where you have to see someone, or you know, if someone's going to say, you haven't called me in 3 days. What's wrong with you?
Right, exactly.
Okay. So party clothes.
Party clothes. I also know it as theme night, because it could be different clothing based on the party scene that night. Party invitations could say ladies wear sexy clothing, men dress to impress. And so it's clothing particularly adapted for the party that's going on. If it's a pool party, if it's a meet and greet party, you know, theme party, it could be black and white party, and you can dress up in, you know, stylish stuff, funky stuff, fetish stuff, whatever you want. So including robes and lingerie or silky, satin, lacy, you name it, all of that stuff goes bling bling. It goes along with the party clothes. Erotic.
Next from the letter P is polyamory. Polyamory means a love relationship involving more than two people. This is where things get a little bit more muddy, because the next thing people are going to ask, so what's the difference between that and open relationship? And when is something open and when is something poly? To which I can only say, well, ask them. I don't know. It's to me, I think the definition is more of self-identification, in that in the same way as that there's no completely straight or completely gay people, there is a scale.
So like it's a continuum.
Yes. And that's how I see it.
But who's in love? If it says a love relationship involving more than two people, do all of the people have to love all of the other people?
No.
No.
Well,
no.
You have to have some sort of connection.
But
right? there are different configurations where, like, A loves B, who loves C, but A and C don't really feel much for each other. That is also polyamory. In other cases, you have a complete triangle where A loves B and B loves C and C also loves A, in which cases it's called a triad. versus the other case, it's where it's called a V relationship. And then it gets more complicated between four or five people, but you have to do advanced mathematics for that to count out all the combinations.
So we have friends that have polyamory relationships or in poly relationships, but not all their partners know each other.
Right.
And some of them don't want to know.
And for one thing I also noticed is it apparently it gets way more expensive doing dates, because instead of taking one person out on a date once a week, you have to take two persons out on a date once a week or whatever.
Okay, I'm up next, and the term is safe. And the glossary that we're looking at, it says that it's used to describe a person who cannot conceive or impregnate, a man who has had a vasectomy, naturally or surgically sterile. But I also think it's important to think about safe sex, so using condoms. You can also have the vaginal condoms, the dental dams, and stuff like that. And to be careful to protect yourself from STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. We don't only need to be cautious of sexually transmitted diseases. There are other things that can get passed on skin to skin by wearing other people's clothing and stuff like that, like skin conditions,
scabies
or even lice.
We do know some folks that had the situation with their scabies, and it shocked the community, because, you know, we always think of that as, oh, only dirty people have it. And no, it's not true. They're just one of those little critters that go very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's contagious. It, you know, when I say contagious, it goes from blankets or, you know, coats or hats or, you know, even a hug. And
so, so we should try to be as safe as possible. And then another thing that comes up a lot is the idea of same room only or same room swap or separate room swap. So sometimes if you're filling out a profile on a website, it'll ask you if you're full swap or soft swap, but it'll also say, are you same room only or different rooms? And that is about the level of comfort you have in playing separately or together with your partner. So partners that want to be in the same room only will play in the same room, obviously. And if you're not same room, then you'll allow your partner to go off into a different room with someone else and play with them.
What's yours and the captain's comfort level?
Same room, pretty much.
Is it just this anxiety of not being able to see each other, or is it more the pleasure of wanting to see each other?
It's the pleasure of wanting to. Yeah. I mean, a big part of it for us is that the captain gets a lot of pleasure out of watching me with other people. We get a connection. We get really turned on by making eye contact when we're with other people. We'll make eye contact with each other and just kind of, that is a real turn on for us.
That's a real turn on for both of us.
And so if we're off in other rooms, then we're not kind of
enjoying
it together. Someone's missing out. So it'd be pretty rare that we would do that.
So is that hot wifing? Is that what hot wifing is then?
I think that's
so
what
captain is enjoying watching you.
Yeah.
Yay, I learned a new term.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot wifing.
Captain's
like
into
that.
Hot wifing.
I am into hot wifing.
Do you have a hot wife?
Oh, yeah. That's double hot wifing. Got a hot wife, and I like watching her have fun.
Me too.
And there, I wonder if there's a term called hot husbanding.
I am.
Yeah, same thing.
Honey, you're a hot husband, baby.
Same thing.
And I like putting you with Captain's hot wife. And then we have a double, double hot, hot time.
We do. We're going to have
to. You guys are making me giggle.
We're going to have to book a red eye here.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Next on our list is Social Swing Club. And this is generally a club where swingers can go. And it includes on-premises swing parties where you can go to this club on a regular basis, or they have weekly get-togethers. You can go there and swing, and they'll have play areas and social areas. Usually there's a membership fee, and they're restricted to couples.
There's a really good club that's in New Orleans, naughty New Orleans, called Colette's. That's a membership club. But not all the swing clubs are membership. You can pay a door price. There's some, though, that do require memberships. Colette's is so much fun.
Or often the membership will be included in the price of the party kind of thing.
Exactly.
So what about swinging?
Swinging. Well, this is what I like about swinging is this, you know, we've brought this up many times. We are adults and we are consenting adults where we consent to having recreational sex with others, other couples or other individuals. And everyone has a full knowledge and mutual consent by both partners. So that's not cheating. It is swinging, which is way better than cheating. And sometimes single men and single women are involved.
Love it. Next, ticket. Hey. So at parties that are couples only, there's sometimes a term also known as arm candy. A single man may not be able to attend these parties. And so in order to get into the party, they'll take a lady friend. So as arm candy, they will attend the party as a couple. Generally, the gentleman will pay for the entire fee because at these parties, single ladies are invited and they are able to attend free. So guys, if you're going to take a girl and you go to the party as a couple, you need to pay. This is usually brought to the swing party to enable the guy to gain the entrance. It's the biggest thing. So the golden ticket, arm candy, treat those ladies well.
Next, the letter T stands for toys. Everybody likes them toys. When you see it on swinger websites or in invitations, it usually means sexual toys, vibrators, strap-ons, any other sort of gear. So don't bring any Legos.
We like toys. U for unicorn. A unicorn is a term that refers to a single female in the lifestyle, either bisexual or straight. And she's usually someone who's willing to have sex with a couple. To some, that seems mythical, hence the name unicorn, the mythical creature.
Vanilla. Well, that typically refers to non-swingers. So we would have a lot of vanilla friends that don't even know about the lifestyle or swinging. They would be vanilla.
And I also noticed that that term is used in other groups, like, for example, BDSM groups.
Yeah.
Will also use that term.
Yeah.
So to me, vanilla means the people that are not into the same thing as I is.
Yeah.
That's what would be more accurate, I think.
Mm. What do you mean? You could be in the lifestyle, but you're not in BDSM.
Right. So for certain people, we are vanilla because we don't do blood play or anything else.
A lot of kinky people say that the sex that people have in the swinger lifestyle is pretty vanilla.
Right.
As far as sex goes.
Right.
Because it's not kinky.
Wow.
And but then to our vanilla friends who aren't who don't even swing, they're vanilla.
They're
and what we do
vanilla.
Is, you know.
Moving on.
Okay.
Captain, I'm going to let you take the first one.
Oh, are you? Voyeurism?
Because that's your favorite.
It is my favorite. I definitely am voyeuristic.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I love watching.
Watching
what? My partner with other people.
Just your partner?
No, I enjoy watching everyone have sex. I like watching.
You get turned on, don't you?
I get turned on by it. And I like being able to watch with no pressure, just being totally relaxed and know that I can just watch.
So watching others having sex, you find that sexually gratifying?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And the exhibitionist side of things, when I transform into the mistress and I put on my black boots and I've got my outfit on and I've got my crop stick and my floggers and you put me on stage, I transform into an actress. I love showing off in front of the group, and it could be a couple of people. I love to act it out. Now, if I'm having sex and I know someone's watching me, if I know the captain is being that little peeping Tom, I definitely will turn it on. I love it.
Nice.
It's awesome, awesome, awesome.
You'll turn on the performance.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
So cool. Being watched.
Yes, being watched. Exhibitionist is being watched and just getting turned on by being watched.
So that's it. Those are all the terms that we've chosen to explain for now. So again, let's give credit where credit is due, thanks to the Swingers Board for some of the definitions. Now we're moving on to news of the week. Just John has some shout outs for us.
Shout out.
So shout outs of the week. First of all, Lifestyle Out Loud, because they're cute.
Oh, really cute.
Yes.
Are they?
Sassy. Oh,
they seem sassy. Cute on their podcast.
Adorable.
Yes, and in real life, even more so. And they do a lot for the community here. They are fairly newbies, but they're starting their own meeting grids and getting people organized. So I'm very impressed in what they've been doing so far.
They work fast.
Yes. And then the Swapfoos, one of the more classic podcasts. I like them because they're not afraid to voice their opinions, even when it doesn't really fit with others. And I like having discussions with them. And they're a fun couple, and
they are
a very interesting podcast.
And they put up with you.
Yes, sort of. Next on my list, Swingers Board. They've been a beacon in the community for over 15 years now, which is, I think, amazingly impressive that any website is running for 15 years, and especially something like this, doing them for the community. There's a whole lot of resources there, which I think is invaluable for many people. And then last but not least on my list is the Sex is Fun podcast. They have been around also for many years. They've been the inspiration for many sex-positive podcasts. Mm-hmm. If you asked many of the other podcasts, how did you get started? They'll say, oh, it's by listening to Sex is Fun.
Yep.
This week, they said that they would be ending the podcast
in
a couple episodes.
They've had a great run, and you could say that we're children of theirs. We've spawned from their education and their encouragement, and I learned a lot from them.
So there's a closing of a chapter, and it is also a reminder, if you like a podcast, let the people who create it know. I don't mean us, just if there's any podcast that you particularly like, reach out to them and send them a warm word or a like or a tweet or whatever, and people do appreciate it. There's real people out there who are working on these things for you. So give some love back.
Great. That's it for the shout outs. And now we've got the Luscious Labs. Luscious Labs with Professor T. So what's cooking up in the Luscious Lab? We didn't actually go in for any new experiments in the lab this week, but we do have a couple of quick updates. So it won't be a full lab. I'm just going to give the updates.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So first of all, the We Vibe, the one we own, turns out to be rechargeable. We didn't realize that. Remember? We had the dead We Vibe experience.
Yes. Yes.
Have you read the manual?
No.
No. We thought it was out of juice, but instead we realized the charger was broken. So we had a moment of excitement where we're like, oh, look, it can be charged. Then we tried charging it, but the charger was broken. But then the captain took it in to a shop. They put in their own charger, and lo and behold, it started vibrating. So we sent off for a new charger. And last night after the Desire Party, we tested it out. And the bottom line, I think, for us was that on settings number 1 and 2, we felt overstimulated.
Yeah.
It was a bit too vibey.
A little too much.
So we need to play around with it a bit more.
Yeah.
We think the last two settings, which are the intermittent vibration, might work better for us. But the fact is, it's really hard to push the button because it gets all slippery after a while. I mean, I don't want to get TMI, but, you know, it's very
getting
hard
wet?
To push the button.
We
and
would...
it's all full Dicky. Of liquid, like sort right. of moisture juices and
Come.
Stuff.
We would highly recommend that you get the remote.
Yeah, we were kind of The only downside of ours being resurrected
is
that we were kind of looking forward to ordering the one with the remote, and now it seems like a real extravagance because our WeVibe works. It just doesn't have a remote.
Right. But, you know, we're going to try it a few more times.
Maybe if we set the vibe before we...
Yeah, yeah. Because there's about 7 to 8 settings on this thing.
No, I think there's 6.
6? So there's 6.
Oh, my God. Settings. I couldn't turn the thing off.
So we, we couldn't get it off.
We just kept changing the vibration.
30 seconds changing the vibrations anyway. And we couldn't get the...
Maybe you should read the manual.
I think so.
There is no manual.
No, there's no manual to it. It's pretty straightforward.
We can find one online. If we need a manual to use the WeVibe, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, right.
So the other thing that we're working with is a book called The Art of Sexual Ecstasy by Margot Anand. She's from France, and she's a teacher of tantric sex, but she's adapted tantra for the Western practitioner, and so she calls it high sex. We were going to do something from it for this week's lab, but as we got into the book, we realized that it's a bit of a longer term. It's a project, really.
Yeah, it's a...
like
PhD.
A major project. So that's going to be something for another time. We wanted to explore this because the captain keeps returning to this theme over the last few weeks. He's been going to this theme like, it's about more than sex. It's got to be about more than sex. So I guess high sex might help us land on what the more is. I think it's really about connection, about deepening intimacy, about deepening trust.
Or maybe you just say hi and then have sex.
Maybe. Anyway, the practice sessions require quite a bit of commitment. I think we won't be reporting on it even next time. So we're early days with that.
Well, I want to know, are you guys still practicing the 15-minute orgasm?
We haven't done that since the last time, but
we're definitely going to do it. We described it to everybody last night.
On our schedule for this week.
In fact, we had some friends who did it, a 15-minute orgasm thing, for 10 days in a row. There was a different exercise
Twice a day.
That focused on a different part of the clip. They were on vacation. But apparently it caused some tension between them because I think after like the fifth day of twice a day of just focusing on 1 millimeter of her clit, he was getting a little frustrated.
But also because they said sometimes it was great. And then sometimes it was terrible.
Oh, and they had to journal after each section. Each of them had a separate journal.
He said last night, he said, I burnt my journal, but he was only joking.
Yeah, he didn't burn his journal. Okay, so that's it from the lab. Nothing too exciting, but that's where it is.
Perfect.
That's all we have time for today. And join us next time when we're going to be interviewing Dana, a professional submissive and swinger who also writes erotic fiction. Meanwhile, you can find us on the internet at blissbringers.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at blissbringers. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can grope us at parties, or maybe let us grope you. You can also drop us a message by email at info@blissbringers.com or by phone at 231-62-BLISS. That's 231-622-5477. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And until next time,
what's your pleasure?
All names mentioned in this show are either fictional, taken from public record, or held by people who have given their explicit consent to be mentioned.